I wasn't supposed to be leading this, but Sue's not here for some reason. I think she's having an interview. I think she might be having an interview with BBC. So I volunteered to do this. So basically, I mean, following on from what was said before, obviously there's systemic bias in both age, sex, ethnic background, and whatever. So someone say something. come down the front. No. Yeah. Turn it on.
This one should be on.
Button at the bottom. Press the red button. Take the blue pill. Swap. Right. Okay. I'm Wes Spielcheckers. I'm active on the English Wikipedia. And one of the places I sometimes spend time is on New Page Patrol. And I've noticed that there's a string of articles that do come in from the, shall we say, the third world, the particular Indian villages, Indian towns. And if we continue to treat them with the same, judge them to the same standard of quality, et cetera, as people judge articles from England and America, then when it comes, particularly with the problems with sourcing, et cetera, I can see those editors, we're at a different stage of Wikipedia in India. And in Africa, even worse. And I think we need, if we're going to deal with the bias there and actually accept those articles, we're going to have to operate a differential standard around the world for some of our geographic stuff. Just a thought.
How should I put this? The areas formerly covered by Europe's empires are fairly universally a problem. In fact, if you look at, say, the German East Africa article, it looks like it's actually quite a nice place to live. Apparently, the wars and near genocide of at least one ethnic group there didn't happen. The issue of quality with, or rather, applying our quality standards to articles on areas we don't previously cover, there's two issues here. Firstly, Western Europe is incredibly well-sourced when it comes to places. You've got centuries of records have been fairly well preserved, and you've got local historians digging out more all the time. If you want to, you can practically source Western Europe down to street level if you really want to. Trying to do this in India doesn't seem to work. So we've got the problem that all our standards are based on reliable sources in Western formats. So we're not very sure how you allow people to write about Indian villages.
I mean, I think that you're talking about sourcing here. I think that there is a problem that obviously all the sources for the English Wikipedia are based in the English language. I'm not saying it's only English, but I'm saying that the bias is towards the English language. Sorry. So I would imagine that likewise in other Wikipedias the same problem exists. I would imagine that there probably is a significant amount of Indian language sources, but obviously there's going to be a natural bias anyway towards the English language, and so because I think that there has often been I've certainly seen it at FA where there have been foreign language sources, for example, and then they've been requested to be replaced with English language sources. And so there is an unfortunate situation where basically people consider, there are people who consider foreign language sources to be of a lesser value, and I don't think that should be the case. That's personally my opinion. I will do that and then there.
I just wanted to make a comment first, if I may. If we look at this from an equal opportunities perspective, then we do have a huge problem on Wikipedia. We have a huge bias towards men. I think the figure that was quoted earlier today was 87% men. We've got certain problems in terms of age. We've definitely got problems in terms of class, social background, and educational background. But we have one huge advantage, which I think a lot of other organisations coming across equal opportunities don't have, which is the fact that I think it's widely acknowledged on Wikipedia that we have these problems, and there's a real appetite to do something about it. And what I'd be really interested to hear from is particularly people who work in the GLAM sector, who've got experience of equal opportunities in museums and so on, is what kind of things have you done? Just to understand, particularly on the gender front, you know, what kind of things have you done to involve, to deal with gender bias, and just to hear those ideas, to see if something like that would be transferable into the Wikipedia space.
Okay, a couple of points. Just to come back on the point, particularly as regards Africa, if you look at discussion of African history. There's been a debate that's been going on for some time about the importance of oral searches, oral resources, oral memory, and everything like that, and oral culture as opposed to written culture. So that discussion's kind of happened there already, and a lot of the history has actually been passed on by word of mouth over a number of generations. And there's certainly issues about, verifiability there, but that discussion is already quite well evolved. And the other point is, just following on from the last speaker, having it been involved from the community end of dealing with various archives and museums, I was a bit concerned about the idea that's coming over a bit earlier on, that this was a very positive thing which had been happening in the galleries, libraries, archives and museums sector, because a lot of the experiences I have had have been quite negative. And that involved, I spent 6 months working at the National Archive on an outreach project, which kind of seemed to grind to a halt as soon as the 6 months was up. So I think there is actually another side to that debate, which is no doubt there are some people from that, which are the communities who actually have been interacting with the museums and libraries and archives. And whilst there have been areas of where things have gone really well, one of the observations I would make is that groups I've been involved in have followed individuals from institution to institution, because when a person leaves one place and goes to another, you actually know that you're going to be treated in a decent way and a fair way by them. And to try and start up a new relationship with somebody else, that might be positive, that might be negative. So I think there's a kind of side of the story which is probably underrepresented here, and maybe that's something that we need to bear in mind when we take what happens from this conference forward to the next stage, because that's why I see this conference is actually very important, but it is actually opening up a whole series of activity which I want to see progress forward from here.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to take forward on what Liam was saying earlier on about high culture, and that there is an underrepresentation of people. I mean, I think that at the end of the day, Wikipedia is born from fire. It always has been that way, and it always will be that way. There will always be disputes, or people will dislike how we do things, and that exists in whatever sector or whatever subject area that you're going to be in. And so I think it's natural for us to expect that there are going to be negative experiences working with cultural institutions. But I think that at the end of the day, obviously the National Portrait Gallery is the prime example where actually that can turn into quite a amicable friendship. Basically what the people from cultural institutions need to do is when they go away from here, they need to tell other people. They don't need to convince other people that that's not their job, but just simply be made aware that we're here and we want to work together. And I think that's the important thing, just to address the point about you saying about following individuals from institution to institution. I think that that's why it's important to not just build up a relationship with one individual in an institution. You know, at the end of the day, one person, unless it happens to be the director of the museum, in which case, good on you. But unless it's the director of the museum, you're not going to shift the attitude of that whole institution. And so, you know, one of the things that should be done is going in and speaking to institutions as a whole. So, for example, I see this conference as basically we now have lots of individuals who may or may not agree with what we've said, but at least they'll know who we are, and they might be willing to help us go in and speak to the institution as a greater whole. But I'm, you know, most of the people here are people who can make changes or at least instigate those changes that can lead on to better things. So, yeah.
First, I'd like to respond to Joseph's point that in many cases, sources in a language other than English are like discredited in that sense. And you said some people think they should be placed of a lesser value. Yeah. I would add to that and say it's not some people, but official sourcing policy, which says if there is an English source, you must use it in preference over a foreign language source. So it's not just some people, it's an official policy. And I've seen articles that got deleted because all the free sources, free web sources you can find about it is in foreign languages. I've seen an article which I've written and got onto Did You Know, got prodded, because all the sources that I can find were in Chinese.
Just for the museum people, prod means proposed deletion.
Yeah, proposed deletion. And it was like a fast track way to deletion. Yeah. The problem is, whereas there are so many of us sitting in this room trying to discuss and tackle the problem of systemic bias, the problem is there is a majority of people on Wikipedia who aren't in this room at this time, who mm-hmm. don't want this to change. And there goes a famous saying that the more likely you go to a meeting, mm-hmm. the more likely you're going to be inclusionist. Mm-hmm. Like the Wikipedians among us will know that. That leads on to my next point, which is that as we said, we want to, as Wikimedians, we want to listen to how the GLAM sector has combated this problem of systematic bias over the years. And we want to take on board some of the principles that the GLAM sector has used to make the wiki sector better. However, a fundamental difference which we need to bear in mind is that in the GLAM sector, it's essentially an organization with hierarchy, and therefore, the systemic bias can be combated by doing conscious employment and selection decisions. Mm-hmm. Whereas on a wiki, it's all a self-selection. And if all that we rely on is self-selection, then there will be policy methods of doing things which Wikimedia or wikis in general are unlikely to be able to deal with, for example, or just like self-selection stuff, like say, if you organize a meetup for a community which meets and talks primarily online, the turnout of women as a proportion of the entire community is always going to be lower than a proportion of men who turn out.
Yeah, I mean, it's the systematic bias in terms of sex is something which has been proved to exist online. It's not just the real life turnout. It's an online issue. Just to come back to something about with regards to cultural bias, there's a nice little story. If you know the answer to this, then please don't say, because it will spoil it. Does anyone here know who flew the first plane? Who took part in the first flight? Say again? Okay, in a plane. Typically, if you ask any English person, they'll say the Wright brothers. However, if you were to have read the French Wikipedia approximately 2 years ago, I don't know the name of this person, but they will. The French were adamant that it was a Frenchman. There we are. And there was this huge conflict that erupted over who actually undertook the first flight. There were months and months of discussions, and eventually it was agreed that basically these two events took part independently. There was no connection of each other. Neither knew of the other's attempts or successes or anything like that. And so it's actually considered that both the Frenchman and the Wright brothers were actually both jointly the creators of the first independent flight with a powered motor. And I think that I think that's a prime example of how, not just culturally, so it's not just Western Europe, but within languages, as I was saying, with sourcing. And so that's an issue that, yeah. Is there anyone here from the GLAM sector who would like to comment on anything?
I'm sort of GLAMS. I mean, I work
yes,
for
you are.
Culturally Forum. We're an online cultural portal. So we've got one foot in either camp. And what I find really interesting about the conversation about systemic bias, and it's sort of come up a couple of times, is there are a lot of assumptions about who is and isn't out there and who is and isn't participating. And the thing is that until you know exactly who all those people are, it's very dangerous to make assumptions. And yes, it may well be the case that there is a slight gender bias now in terms of men online, but women are catching up. And women are hanging out in slightly different places, and access to technology has been a big thing. Mobile technology is a big thing. There's so much more to this picture than simply the case of who came to this event. You need to look at who's reading the work that's created, and who is contributing, you know, what your audience is as Wikipedia,
yeah.
And then how much of that audience is converting into people who are then participating and who are aware of the community and who want to get stuck in, and what their motivation is. And when you can understand that relationship a bit more, then you can start to look at what the bias may be and where the stumbling blocks are.
Yeah.
But also, as you start to kind of get a more representative community engaged and you start to understand that community better, then things like other kinds of systemic bias will start to be ruled out. And I don't think that the majority of Wikipedians want this to continue. I don't think that's a fair assumption, actually. I don't think that anybody particularly wants a situation in which the voices of one set of people are drowning out everybody else's. And I don't know, until you understand your actual user demographic a lot better, you won't know if that's the case anyway.
There has been studies conducted which both assesses the editors and readers of Wikipedia. In terms of our readership, actually the split is not far off 50-50. And it's pretty representative of what the internet viewership is between men and women. The big bias comes, as was discussed earlier on, was with editors, so people who are actually contributing and editing the encyclopedia. And that is where, for some reason, there is this huge barrier.
But when you say editors, you mean registered users, don't you?
Say again?
When you say editors, do you mean registered users?
Yes. So people who are active in editing, not
okay.
People who are just normal.
So this is anybody, even an IP address editor?
No, these are just the... There is
okay, so you're looking at a different... That needs investigating more. The difference between somebody who's editing behind an IP address and somebody who's registering to edit with an intention of continuing to edit.
Yeah.
And participation in the community versus participation in Wikipedia may be two slightly different things, and they may have different demographics.
It might be that the reason why we see, for example, this 80-20% split in registered active users is that perhaps that women, you know, feel that you know, they can contribute just as well being an IP or whatever. And we don't know that, so this is something that needs to be looked into.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, demographic surveys have only recently been done in the last couple of years. It's only a recent thing that we've started actually doing, is trying to understand who our readers and who our editors are. And actually, I mean, one of the interesting things, for example, up until probably about 3 years ago, it was believed that everyone who edited Wikipedia was a 14-year-old kid. Actually, they're 25-year-olds, and 50% of them have a degree.
Yeah.
And so... no, that this was a study that there was.
The other thing though is it's going to be educational. Like I will shut up in a minute and I'll give you the microphone back. But there is going to be an educational bias in terms of who is attracted to Wikipedia in the first place, and then who knows something to add to the mix or feels that they know enough or that they are empowered enough to be able to make changes to what is widely seen as an authoritative source. Or who may have a piece of niche knowledge, and to get that knowledge, you have to have an education in something. So there is always going to be that bias, and access to technology is going to be an issue. And when you come back to oral tradition, you also have, I mean, that there are primary sources being created at the moment. There's an amazing foundation called the One Village Foundation, which is working its way through Africa, literally one village at a time, putting all of its resources into one place. Recording as much as possible, showing people how to use the technologies before these cultures are completely gone forever. But what's being created is a primary resource, and so there needs to be more study of it in academic circles before Wikipedia can make effective use of it, because otherwise you're still doing primary research. So that's going to affect things in terms of what's usable on Wikipedia. And I think there has to be kind of a level of acceptance of either you're going to have to change your editorial policies in terms of primary research, or accept that there's going to be a time lag, or try and poke people into doing the research that will enable you to describe it.
On the particular point about how well, there are two things that I just wanted to come back on. The first thing is, how well do we know our contributors? How well do we know the people who write the encyclopedia? And I think we do actually know that quite well, in the sense that we've got about 100,000 regular contributors, and about 80% of those contribute through a registered account. So although a lot of people do contribute through IP addresses, it's only 20%. And you're absolutely right, we don't have a gender balance for the 20%, but we do have the gender balance for the 80%. And it is so overwhelmingly male that clearly I think we can draw conclusions about that. But that was the first point I wanted to make. But then the second one is just to echo what you said about, you do get different demographics in different areas. And one of the interesting things that came up in an earlier session was, we have every month in London, we have a Wiki Meet where people just go to a pub, have a drink with other Wikipedians for a chat. We had another event here at the British Museum, which was called the Hoxne Challenge. The backstage pass one. And some of the feedback that came back actually was that the proportion of underrepresented groups, for want of a better word, so women, families, and people with families, and so on, was actually much better at the latter event than at the Wikimedia. So I think there is an interesting thing about the events that we hold, and trying to hold the kind of events that do have that cross appeal to people, even if they if they come from the underrepresented groups. Did you want to? Who's it?